Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future Know Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Yo, what's up, everybody? On today's episode, we're going to look ahead to this Louisville game. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about what we saw on this last game against North Carolina. Why is Florida State still, I guess, being disrespected or as they see it, because they're an underdog to Louisville? We'll talk a little bit about all of it, man. Sam, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man, let's do it. All right, so first of all, I guess before we get into the Louisville game, man, a lot has come out about what the coaches, I think what the players and a lot of other people thought about the Louisville game. I mean, about the North Carolina game. One of the biggest things I thought about was accountability. It looks like nobody seemed to be satisfied with, okay, yeah, we'll be the top five team. We played decent. The message seemed to be, from what I've heard from the coaches and players, was, yeah, no, that was good. That was a very good win. But one, we should have been doing this, and there's still much more we got to improve on. I thought that was a very good message to send to your team, one. I think a lot of the videos and film as well that came out preached a lot about accountability and coaches saying, yeah, that's not okay. I thought Mike Norvell saying uncharacteristic of this team, and then kind of flipping it and saying, no, this is actually characteristic of this team in the past and how they've been of those dumb penalties by Dante Lucas and stuff like that. I thought that's a strong message to send to your team. And again, it's another thing that preaches accountability that lets me know, all right, Mike sees what the problems are and they're still unacceptable. So for me, man, I thought one of the biggest takeaways from the game wasn't just the win, was the fact that these coaches weren't satisfied with, okay, we beat the top five team. All right, let's kind of, you know, dial it back a little bit. But no, let's actually turn it up even more. So that was one of the biggest things I think I took away from the game, just kind of after hearing all the players and coaches come out and talk.
Yeah. Was they not satisfied after Georgia Tech or was they? I mean, all this stuff is just, to me, it's just talk. I mean, I get they got to talk and they got to, people asking them a lot of questions. But, I mean, to me, it's not that big of a deal, personally.
Really?
No, because, oh. I mean, at the same, I mean, because.
So you don't believe in, I guess the thing is, you don't believe in culture. So you don't believe that they really needed to change the culture and that the culture was an actual problem.
You talking about in the past?
I'm talking about in the past, right now. I mean, because the only reason why I say that is because the reason why I find it important is because I do believe that they did need to shift the culture of this team. They needed to make some changes, and I think your messaging is important.
Yeah, but I mean, the culture got better when they got a better quarterback, right?
The team got better when they got a better quarterback. The culture didn't change. See, that's like, again, which is why even though you were playing Notre Dame and you were playing better, there still was a bit of a disconnect, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So part of, I believe, what changes the culture is seeing success. And yeah, having a better quarterback absolutely changes that and absolutely breeds success. But I think they needed something to believe in, and now they saw a little bit of it with Notre Dame, then taking that step forward with North Carolina. Those are the type of things that changes the culture. Not necessarily the quarterback, but yeah, Jordan Travis plays a big part in it because they're winning. And when you start winning football games, that message of culture can be preached a whole lot louder. It's difficult to say, hey man, everybody need to do it the way I'm doing it, and you losing football games. That message doesn't get through. But when you start winning football games, that message is even more important because now you got some results that back up what I'm saying. I'm not just talking and blowing smoke.
So if they lose against Louisville, did that mean their culture wasn't good enough to win the game, or what did that
no.
mean?
No, not at all. But at the same time, I don't think that the culture that we talk about, I said they're improving on the culture. I don't think it's completely fixed yet. So it's very well possible that they go out and get beat. They go out and get beat Saturday. I don't think they are, and we'll talk about that later. But no, I don't think it's even a case of them getting of it being a culture problem if they go out and lose, because there's still some of the same problems. Some of the same players that have issues are still kind of on the team. I think Mike Norvell's messaging this week was very important to changing the mindsets of those players who still have those, you know, I don't want to say me first and a bit of a, I don't even want to say selfish, but more of a, what's it called? Like it's loser, just kind of a loser mentality. I think Mike Norvell's message this week helps change a lot of the mindsets. I talked about it like when they lost to Boise State last year, and it was like you could see the fact that they, oh, shit is happening again. That was a real, like, they had that on their face. They wore those, and it was visible from one in the stands, and then you saw it throughout last season, even on the sideline, like, while you watch it from TV. They're scared. They feel like they're going to lose. What I saw against North Carolina was even when things got bad and got rough towards the end, you didn't really see that. It wasn't I think it's part of the culture.
But is that because they felt like they had a quarterback that was going to continue to make plays, though? I mean,
yes.
I mean, I think that's a big part of it, right? I mean,
it is a big part of it. Of course, you have no
chance of winning a game when the team start coming back when James Blackman, your quarterback, and you know he finna wilt and, you know, fall apart. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've had this conversation. So, I think they're working hard. I think they was working hard last year to win games. I think they're working hard this year to win games. I think they believe in Jordan Travis. So if you believe in a guy that's going to lead the offense, he makes the offense better. The offense plays better, which makes the defense in turn play better. If you want to say a culture shift has happened, I would say it's happened on the special teams. I say that.
I would agree with that.
I don't think a culture shift has happened.
I think a culture shift is happening. Like, it's in progress. You know what I'm saying? Like, they still have some things that they got to work out. They still have some things that they need to address and get
fixed. And another thing, I'm going to ask you this question, though. Do you think North Carolina got good culture?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay, so why would they play or slap Dante Lucas in the helmet then?
I don't think that's a culture thing.
All right.
I don't see. Now we talk. That's a whole different thing. When you start talking about, you know, players, football's an emotional game. Play with passion. That's not the culture I'm talking about. When you talk about players slapping folks in the head and pushing after the play, man, that's part of football, man. Like, temper's gonna flare. I've been battling with this dude all game long in a physical altercation all game long. Stuff is going to be said. Words are going to be exchanged. Man, if you've ever been at the bottom of a pile, you understand some wild stuff happens at the bottom of them piles. I mean, punches thrown, some elbows, an extra little, you know what I mean? I'm going to lean into it as I get up a little bit. I mean, football is a violent game played with angry, violent people. You know what I mean? So the idea that everybody's supposed to be choir boys, I think that's silly. But what I will say is there absolutely is a thing of culture. When I talk about the mindset, when I talk about culture, I'm talking about the mindset and mentality of players who were conditioned to losing and had gotten comfortable with losing.
They had a quarterback that was a loser, though. That's what I'm saying.
Correct.
Like, if you,
and that's
you
part winner, of it, though. Hold on. And you, that's part you, of it. Like, having James Blackman as your quarterback who has that loser mindset and, oh, woe is me, and I'm going to throw and pout as opposed to getting up and fighting. Yeah, that's a loser mentality, and that trickles down to your locker room, and that does affect your culture. And what I'm saying is that's the bigger part of the culture for me. You erasing the emotional penalties, you can or can't. I don't care either way. I like some of the penalties. I used to tell my defense, if you don't get a personal foul penalty, I'm going to have a problem. Like, I want one late hit. Like, I need – give me one late hit penalty. because I just want to see if y'all willing to play to the echo or the whistle. I'm okay with that. I really even preferred it. So I'm okay with that stuff. That's not the stuff that bothers me. The stuff that bothers me is, okay, adversity is hitting. How are you going to handle this? And that's the culture shift that I think Mike was trying to fix. And so when against North Carolina, what I saw was this team didn't. They did not seem to wilt. They did not seem to panic. They did not seem to feel like they could win it. And then made plays to win the game at the end of it, as opposed to in last season or even maybe early this season, North Carolina went right down the field, scored a touchdown, and you lost the game after being up 31, whatever. I mean, we've seen it happen. So that's what I talk about. When I say the culture shift or they are making strides to change the culture, those are the things I'm talking about. Those are the things I'm talking about. We looking at Uncle Luke videos, boy?
Sorry about that. Sorry about somebody sent me this video. I need to delete that.
It's one of those. Wait, I need to delete that. It's one of those videos, huh?
Great morning videos. But anyway,
gotcha.
I don't subscribe to it. I guess I just feel like if you got a quarterback, I feel like North Carolina came back in that game because they had a quarterback, and FSU won the game because our quarterback made one or two more extra plays than their quarterback did. I think we have to start giving guys credit. Like, guys work hard. You know, these guys are D1 athletes on scholarship and have aspirations of going to the pros. Mm-hmm. You know, they're working hard, man. They want to win. They want to do all those things. It's hard to accomplish those goals when you're not on a winning team, right?
Right.
So you start trying to save yourself a little bit, like, well, I ain't going to go that hard today on this, and I'm not going to go that hard on that because I'm trying to save myself.
Yeah.
Having a quarterback that gives
–
but when you have a quarterback that gives you a chance.
Yeah, but understanding that, whether I got a quarterback or not, we got to go ahead. I got a ball. And that's what I'm saying. Like, part of having a good culture is I don't care what the circumstances are. I got to do my job. I got to do my job, and I got to do my part to help our team win. Like, and if everybody has that mindset and that mentality, you win more games than you lose.
Right.
Like, that's just my opinion. Like, I feel like it's a whole lot of people who, I guess for lack of a better term, had a lot of loser in them. It was simple. Like, we got one goal, and that goal is to come out here and play for Florida State and wear the Garden Gold. That's not necessarily the same as we trying to win football games, or I'm trying to do everything I need to help my team win. Those are two different agendas. And I think what we have was a whole lot of people happy to wear the Garden Gold, but not necessarily putting in the effort.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that has graduated over the last 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think a lot of that's left the program. Like,
it has. A lot of it has left the program.
Okay, but so this whole, I think the reason why they was able to upset North Carolina is a very simple thing. Like, when I went back and rewatched, North Carolina had zero respect that FSU was going to do anything at all. Like, I mean,
especially defensively.
Yeah, like watching that game, the fact they come out throwing against Asante Samuel, I'm like, why would you even, that don't even make sense to even do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and also, Janaris Robinson, the fact that they kind of came out very much just running right at him, I thought was kind of crazy because he is somewhat stout against the run. I would have took my chances running more against up the middle to Marvin Wilson's side more. They did that time and time again. They also did not pick on the linebackers until the second half of the game. I thought that was weird from them. So I think they really felt like they could just run their base stuff and win the game. That's my honest opinion. FSU did play well, and they took the game from North Carolina. So I'm going to give them credit for that. You know what I'm saying? I think going into the Louisville game, you're gonna see teams give.
Hold on, I want to clarify. So you basically saying like it was a fluke, Like that game was
No, I'm not saying it's a fluke. I'm not saying it's a fluke. I'm saying that I don't think North Carolina took that game as seriously as they should have. When you just watch the game and you say, well, what did Florida State not do well?
On defense, nothing. I'm saying
the worst spot on the team is the linebackers and the safeties, right?
Right.
So if you go into the game not even trying to pick on the linebackers and safeties, you're not trying to get them no eye candy or nothing to look at, no type of pulls or anything, you're making it very simple for them. I mean, yeah, they played a decent game. You know what I'm saying? Then you go to the second half where you do start giving out eye candy, run that orbit stuff more, and you start having more success. It's like, why did you come out in the first half like that?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Essentially, they had a bad game plan.
I mean, they had a terrible game plan. I
agree with you. The fact that we didn't see a counter in that game, because we all said that the first thing, you know, we would see out the gate would be a counter play. And the fact that we never saw one of those, I thought was wow to me.
Yeah.
Like, literally wow. Like, I was like, nah, that's not possible. They, like, you know what I mean? Like, where's the counter play? And they didn't have one. Like, they literally just decided, hey, man, we don't need it. We good. You know what I mean? We good just running whatever it is we run. We ain't going to change now. It was I agree. It felt like they didn't really game plan for Florida State.
No, it felt like they could run their base and they thought they could get away with it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it felt to me. And even on the defensive side, North Carolina is normally a pretty aggressive defense, right?
Oh, no. I think they were aggressive. I think that played into Florida State's hands, though, because of how well George Charles ran the read option.
If you watch the game, the only time they got aggressive was when they got FSU, FSU was behind the sticks on the, like, I think that was the 20-yard line in their own end zone. They was aggressive. But in the first half. But they wasn't really as aggressive as Jay Bateman normally is. Normally, he's a pretty aggressive D coordinator. He wasn't as aggressive. Now, somebody told me that they was missing like 4 starters on defense, so that might have had something to do with it.
I don't know nothing about that. I thought they were aggressive. I just thought we used their aggression against them. I thought, again, it's not very much to say that you know, a Mac Brown team got out coached, but in my opinion, the Mac Brown team got out coached. It was just that simple. For me, I didn't even look at it as, you know, they didn't respect us or whatever the case may be. I mean, nothing about our team will warrant any respect. So whether they respected us or not, I don't think it mattered. But at the end of the day, you still have a football team who's out playing football. So you're going to respect them as much as you getting hit in the mouth. And that's where I think it ends for me. If you out here getting hit in the mouth, I don't care what our level of respect was at the beginning of the game, I now have a different level of respect for you because you are now hitting me in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so I don't know if I can necessarily go with, hey, you know, they didn't respect them or whatever. Cause they may, and you're right, they may not have. They absolutely may not have respected Florida State or whatever the case may be. But I think once some bullets start flying and everybody's out here literally making, you know what I mean, your job is to go out here and hit somebody. Man, I don't see how you don't have a choice but to respect the person in front of you.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Louisville comes out. They're a very aggressive defense, so I'm
hoping they come out aggressive. Like, the funny thing is, right? Like, here's what the fact that as well as they run the read option, which is I never thought that I'd be able to say that because Florida State ain't ran the read option well. And who was the last quarterback that ran the read option well at Florida State?
I don't even know.
Yeah, that right. Neither do I, to be honest with you. So all I'm saying is the fact that I think them being aggressive is what, like, that early play, that first touchdown to Jordan Travis, they were mad. They were aggressive, and it bit them right in the ass. Like, you got to think about it. They had, 8, 9 in the box?
Mm-hmm.
He held that ball for as long as humanly possible, took it around the edge, and was off to the races. One play. If I'm a D coordinator, that's going to make me pause a little bit. And I think that's what I look at stuff like that and I say, okay, be aggressive if you want to. Jordan is great with that ball to be able to give it, give it, give it. And then that one time you decide you're going to bite on that handoff, he's going to pull it and take it. And if you decide you're not going to ever bite on that handoff, he'll just keep giving it. And Webb and Toafilla will get you 5, 6, 7, 8 yards pop. Because what we've seen is that that offensive line absolutely loves running down, blocking downhill. So we'll take it. 6, 7 yards, that controls the clock. It controls the line of scrimmage. And it's very demoralizing to have a team just constantly running down your throat. So I don't know if necessarily that's a bad thing of them being more, you know, if them being aggressive. I don't think that's a recipe for a win. I mean, but if you, I mean, we can talk about the Louisville game if you're ready to break that down. You got anything else on the North Carolina game? Or?
Nah, I mean, I'm good on that. I mean, it's like, see, I think the North Carolina game doesn't tell us that we have a good football team or a progressive football team. I think the North Carolina game tells us that it's show of proof that Mike Norvell and the coaching staff, you know, they get equal talent that they can prepare just as good as anybody else in the country and to win a game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it shows proof, like you said, it shows proof of concept.
Right. So I don't, you know, because what I hear a lot and what I'm seeing a lot is, Jordan Travis is second coming and he's leading us out of this dark time and this team is getting so much better and, you know, a lot of this stuff. And I don't necessarily think it's that. I think it's that you have to properly game plan for this team, right? You cannot take this team lightly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if Mike Norvell get into a chess match, especially with him on offense, because I saw a lot of stuff with him on offense that I actually like. Like when you look on the backside of his plays, he does a lot of different stuff on the backside of plays. So that those are all positives going forward. It's still a lot of negatives though when I look at the defense. But I mean, I'm gonna let Fuller go for this week, and we'll wait till next week to talk about that. But yeah, we can go to the Louisville game.
All right. So Florida State is an underdog as of today. You know, it keeps changing. 6 points, 7 points, 5 points. Should they be an underdog?
Yes, they should be an underdog. And the reason why they should be an underdog is because last week, Louisville played a really good game against North Carolina. People think North Carolina's good. I don't think North Carolina's that good. But they did beat us pretty handily. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got to take that and look at it and say, well, what did Louisville do so well against North Carolina?
Notre Dame.
Yeah, you're right. What did Louisville do against Notre Dame so well and that Florida State could not do, right? Yeah. So you have to kind of look at that. Also, you have to look at people now have, what, three games of film on Jordan Travis now. So that's enough to, devise a game plan, right? And do you expect for FSU to play as lights out in that first half of North Carolina? They're going to play one great half of football against North Carolina. Do you expect to see that for four quarters against Louisville? So I can see why they're not favored in the game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. Not for all the same reasons, but for a lot of them. So Florida State has been bad for the 90% of this season. Like, if you take it just in quarters, right? Like, they've played, what, 5 games? They are, 2-3? And the 3 losses, they gave up a whole lot of points. The defense showed that they can be really good for a half. And you still don't know, even though we believe we have something in Jordan Travis, you still don't know what Jordan Travis is, really. Like, he's going to have a bad game. At some point, he's going to have a bad game. Either team of a defense coordinator will figure out how to stop him or slow him down, and then he'll have to rely more on his arm, and he may not be able to make all the throws because, I mean, again, they understand he's not a pocket passer. So, yeah, they absolutely should be. Because if I'm looking at it, I'm saying Louisville's been a little bit more consistent than Florida State, even though Florida State has a better record and a top 5 win. Now, with that said, I don't think Louisville beats Florida State. And I don't even see I don't want to say it's not going to be close, but I really don't think it's going to be close. I know our defense isn't great, but Louisville's offense is nothing to like. Louisville's offense is nothing. Like they don't have an offense that can put up points. Florida State has an offense that has shown the ability to put up points. Now, our defense isn't great. Isn't even good. Mm-hmm. But if they play like they played last week in that first half, just resetting the line of scrimmage. Let's forget all the sacks and all of that stuff. If they are just able to reset the line of scrimmage, play after play after play like they did last week, I don't see this one being a very close game. This may be the first comfortable win. And that's a huge step. Like, I think this may be the first comfortable win Florida State has in a good little while. I think a noon game, Florida State coming off with a lot of momentum. I know you don't believe in momentum, but I do think it carries over. I think you saw a happy locker room. You saw happy. You saw good. You've heard nothing about, you know, bad practices this week. They've practiced well. They came out. I do think they build off of last week and come into this week with some confidence, with a different level of swagger a little bit. Not the false bravado that I thought they played with most of last season and early even this season, but I think you actually see some, like, real swagger to them. And they come out and actually play a really good football game against a team who shouldn't be able to score points. Here's the thing, like, even against Georgia Tech didn't have a good offense either. And what was that game, 17 points? I can see them getting – I can see it 17 points, you know, somewhere around there. Oh, and another bad offense, and our defense isn't great, but, you know, maybe a bend don't break, couple turnovers, you end up with, you know, probably around 17 points, very similar to Georgia Tech. Only difference with the Georgia Tech game versus this one is we have a quarterback who should be able to put up points. So I can see it being 31-17. Now, is that a blowout? No, but I think it's comfortable. And I think that also sends another message to, hey, we are headed in the right direction.
Okay. I think they're gonna beat Louisville. I do think they're gonna beat Louisville. I mean, Willie Taggart beat them twice. I mean, you should beat Louisville. That's all I'm gonna say.
Willie Taggart beat them twice. So that's the standard.
No, I'm just saying, damn the Willie Taggart thing. Like, you should beat Louisville. Like, I mean,
I agree with you. He beat better Louisville teams than this one, actually, because I don't think the Louisville team is very good at all.
No, I don't think so either. So I would. It would be a two fingers to my eyes, two finger to yours if you lose Louisville. I don't think you will lose Louisville. I think you beat Louisville though. I think you should beat them by two touchdowns.
What did I say? Yeah, 31-17 is two touchdowns. Yeah.
I would say 10 points. I'll probably put it at 28-17. I guess that's okay. Where I'd be at. I'm somewhere in that range. You know, I think they got a terrible punter. I think he might even better take a kick back for a touchdown to keep going with the special team success that we've been having.
I agree. Yeah, I think special teams right now. I know Reggie. I was talking to Reggie about it. He didn't think special teams is a sustainable. It's something that can be sustained. And
I disagree with that. Yeah,
I told him that. Yeah, and I disagreed as well. I told him that as well. I think absolutely special teams is something that can be sustained. I think there's coaches who, you know, believe in special teams and preach special teams, and they line their best players up on it, and you end up getting success all the time. And so I agree. I think what Papuchas is doing is he's creating special teams. And now, I think what you have is more players are going to want to play on special teams. They're going to want to make those big plays. They're going to want to block a punt. They're going to want to. And so what you end up with is culture shifting, like you said, in the special teams area, where it's like, oh, no, special teams is important. We see why it's important. It won us a game last week. Having a short field, two short fields led to 14 points. That gives you a huge lead in the game. And so I think this week as well, I don't know what he's seen, but I'll trust the fact that maybe he saw something. Maybe they can block a field goal. Maybe they can block another punt. Like you said, a punt return taken to the house. I don't know what he's seen, but at this point, I have to trust that he's watched enough film on these special teams and have created something. Our field goal kicking and we got to work on. But outside of that, man, I do think special teams is something that's sustainable. I have them winning it 31-17. I do think Jordan Travis has another good game. I do think Webb has another good game. And I'm interested in seeing if Warren Thompson is able to take a step up. That's the play I'm really interested in watching this week. Last week we saw him, you know, make a big play. And does he have enough confidence? Or did he get some confidence in watching the film of what he was able to do and build off of it?
Yeah, I think can't expect much out of wide receivers with the quarterback that we got. I think last game we threw, 20 passes, I think. So that's about the number that we're going to throw. You know.
And do you have a problem with that? I mean,
I want to play to Jordan Travis's strengths. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to see him throwing the ball 45 times. I mean,
right.
That would be bad coaching if that happened.
Okay. No. I just wanted to clarify. It sounded like, you know, I agree with you. No, I think they're a run first team. You know what I mean? With this quarterback, we're gonna run the ball. Not only plays to Jordan Travis' strength, I think it plays to the offensive line strength as well. I don't think you want to have to drop Jordan Travis back, you know, 30 times a game. I think what you want is, like you said, 20 play action passes, like run the ball, play action, throw it deep. That's the game plan. Right. Run it to set up the play action, and as long as you're able to run the football, you're going to be able to set up the play action. You have receivers who can get down the field, and the concepts that Mike's running don't seem to be very difficult in the pass game. You know, these guys, I've been saying, Florida State has rarely ever had guys running down the field wide open. But we've seen it a whole lot more recently in some of these concepts that Mike's running. And it's because, one, you're first able to establish the run. On that Pokey Wilson pass out that should have been, I thought, was close to a touchdown, if you look at it, man, he was wide open. The Cam McDonald, even on that rollout, Cam was wide open. Like the throwback pass to the slip out to the tight end, wide open. Like, these are great play designs, but they come as a result of, hey, we're gonna run it. Jordan's gonna run it. We down in our own end zone, so the logical thinking is, yo, they finna just give him this run. We've seen this lead, basically it's a sweep with the quarterback with the lead blockers. We've seen this play, you know, 30 times in film. So you fake that play and then throw it back. I mean, it's just a remarkable play design. And it just shows you, like you said, that he clearly has his hand on what this team does well and what they're trying to do. And like I said, I applaud him. I do think they win it against Louisville and go into the bye week with some momentum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll be great. Great win. It'll be a good win. We need that.
No, yeah. Back-to-back wins, I think, is something that's important. Back-to-back wins over, I won't say good teams, but back-to-back wins over ACC teams, I think, is even better. Like I said, before the North Carolina win, the last two wins was Jacksonville State and Alabama State.
Yep.
That's not what you want. So to be able to have, you know what I mean? So to be able to say, all right, we had two wins. We've now stacked two wins back to back, once against Louisville and the other ones against North Carolina. I don't think you're going to have any complaints from the fan base.
No doubt. I think we win. I think it'd be a good win, man. Let's get ready to wrap right there.
Yep.
I am dead tired.
Nah, man. You've been working all night, man. You go get some sleep. I've been doing doubles. Like, I've been having to work with our Asia team, so I've been having – they get up at 8 o'clock at night. So I have to get up – or I have to get back on at 8 o'clock p.m. to, you know, help that team out. So I've been working from, 8 to 5, and then getting back on and working from 8 to midnight just to get up and do it all over again. So I'm just as tired as you, but I'm back at it. We appreciate you. Yeah. Get some rest, man. Yeah.
I had to serve crack. Uncle fronted me some peas, had to get in birds back.